Interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricket Tube Busting, episode BTWRLM 448. Last week I said you want to see the Matrix. I exposed one, a subroutine within the Matrix. There's others, but this is the main one that everyone may not understand they're working through. I hope you read that article. I hope you went and thought about what I was saying. I hope you identified... hope some of you identified the jurisdiction by the elements that the story was telling us. And then I hope if you didn't know that, you went to the links and you understood. It tells you in black and white what the jurisdiction is and how motor vehicles and what that motor vehicles are connected to and how they treat people presumptively. And so this, when you see, again, when you, I'm hoping people start to see this and don't get lost and fixated on these, but this is one of the things that you can start to look at and speak through or look to avoid if you know it's there. It becomes this, what the jurisdictional battle is, to establish a record that shows you're not in that status to be treated like that. So again, I hope you took the time to go look at that. I hope you made it important. I don't know what to say if you don't. If you see what that subroutine says, you see how you only have the rights you're gave. You don't have rights that you have in antecedent or unalienable. You don't even have the inalienable ones that you think is what they call liberty. I'm pausing here. This is such an important point to understand. This is the administrative state bureau bots, how they treat you. And they come in all different costumes. And you can defeat their relative supposed and purported power by showing you're not there. You're not standing in the place that you're alleged and fraudulently alleged to be. And you have not just that statement is, you have the other place that you are standing, if you will. This is all a fiction anyway. What worries about the straw man, the person you stand? These are all fiction. You're dealing in fictional things anyway. So I've learned a long time ago, stop getting focused on it. It's almost like people are put in our way to say, "Well, focus on us and focus on this and focus on this," and you don't even have a clue. We don't have a clue as we walk through this thing. We're being set up for the takedown. They don't even understand. It's already been defined before they got there. Don't read enough. Just take the stuff off the internet and don't read enough to understand what's going on. So did you come, folks, those that listened last week, did you come to the answer before I got it about the Matrix, what the Matrix is called that I didn't give you? Did you understand what jurisdiction we're talking about there? That dealing with motor vehicle and impounding is in a certain subject matter area? And then you have to think about how? How is that presumed applicable? But it is. Did you come to the conclusion that this particular matrix is called the creditor's matrix? And it's presumptively what your life is confined through. And again, we say, what's presumptive? Because every presumption, wherever, is rebuttable. And that is where the point is. They make the presumption to fix a problem that makes it work, and they just kind of go with that presumption until someone finally says, no, I'm not that, and you're mistreating me. And that's a mistreatment of other things. And as I've shown you, that becomes these immediate frauds and extortions of extortion and coercion and conversion. But you have to be able to bring your title because it's really all an equity consideration. You can't rely on someone else's say-so. You can't just rely on someone's argument against you. This is what I learned in mining law again. I mean, these are all really basic principles that were known a long time ago. So when I tell you stuff behind the woodshed, I'm not saying here I'm the only one with the answer, but I'm telling you that these things are there with principles that you can go rely on, and that black and white is probably the only thing that's we're going to be able to point to. The black and white prior till today is going to be the only black and white we can likely touch, and likely not even touch the constitutions themselves. Partly because these other statutes actually protect us. It's like I looked in the state of Oregon, there's no duty for a sheriff to take a complaint. I had to create an ability to give myself a right to give the sheriff a complaint at all. because lots of misinformation about how that works. You look at the Constitution, and a lot of the Constitutions gave it over to the legislature in order to make the law, the statute, the code. It was the law first, and now since the late, I guess somewhere after the 40s across the nation, states changed into this new corporate structure, substituting, supplanting the permanent laws of the people in favor of this other policy code. And I can only think it's based in the transformation of the federal government. And again, this subject matter I talked about, you notice I'm not telling you what it is. Some of you figured it out just on the clue. It wasn't that hard last week. But I wanted you to see in a news article, the notice of what you're under, that you can go right to the elements and see exactly how they treat us. And how anybody sits in this thing and thinks they have a right and doesn't refute that is really an amazing thing for me to watch. It's really how quickly I can start to identify we have a problem, and it's not in the law and it's not in the agencies at some point. Yeah, they shouldn't be asking, but they do that because of that presumption. As I said before, this creditor's matrix is presumed upon you. Did you even see one? Have you ever in a due process proceeding that ever created that? No, it's been done supposedly to your benefit. And I found out the mining law allowed me maybe the last example touching the land to be able to say, wait a minute, I'm not over there. I'm over here and you can't touch this. That's right. You can't touch it. Now, they do. And that just makes them the criminals so much quicker. And as I said, the debt-based fraudulent fiat system is the weapon of exploitation. It's a weapon of impoverishment, and it's a weapon of enslavement. And yes, I'm not free of it. You want to know a disclaimer? Are we going to be that menial to say, yeah, oh, but you're not? Of course I'm having to deal with some of that. But it's limited, and I do not ever let that system encroach upon the obligations of the government to me through the status of a grantee or a beneficiary underneath a secondary trust that sits there the government officials are to protect. That is not a debtor system. If I was a debtor, I couldn't have the property. When you challenge the presumption, now they can't treat you as that, even though they might, and then you get to attack them for being the trespasser on the case. As you look inside the case, what's trespass on the case? What's fraud on the court? Look at those. You got to be able to establish that. You establish that by the certain fact. You don't just say this stuff. You say when they did this, that caused a lack of ability to get to justice. That's fraud on the court. It's not a fraud. It's a fraud. It's the inability to get to justice through the avenue that was chosen by the other party. Trespass on the case? Somebody coming in and answering, or the court mistreating the case you filed? It's simply a statement in preservation. Is it going to stop because of the magic word you say that? No, because I've also told you in 2013, we sued the Bar Association itself, the members, including the judges, and said you're not able to give us justice. In fact, your organization that you're a member of and is an agency of the state has already told us that you are going to promote another and foreign agenda that's counter to the mining law itself, the property. This is that sustainable nonsense. We identified everything, and we did it through the money. We went through the treasuries as well. I've told you all about this. So we identified quickly that they're proceeding on a presumption, but that when they proceeded upon that presumption, they had everything, all properties in a creditor's matrix, that was the improper path. And there are black and white things that says and saves the prior law we were to enjoy. So remember, in this fiat system, a debtor, I say this all the time, but just a short phrase I came to mind a long time ago, seems pretty clear to me when I saw it, debtor not a master be. If you're considered a debtor, you cannot hold property. Now, if that's the case, then how is it that a miner can hold property? You can't be the miner in that status. The presumption may be that everyone's a debtor, but is the land and the soil, the duties and obligations of the organic establishment in the debtor system, which was created far after. The quick mind should say, no, it can't be. It came after. And that's why you have savings clauses, savings provisions to all this prior law. And they are just little short sentences, short clauses within statements. You don't even hardly find them. And if you don't know what those are, you don't understand where your rights are. And I'm not saying this like I knew this going in and I could find it. No, it took a while to figure out, reorient even my thoughts, even my skeptical thoughts on what was being said on where your freedoms are or where they're not, even through that skepticism against that, I had to undo some things and then relook at what was going on. And where I finally kind of turned the page for me, where, if you will, the light went on, was reading about grant authorities and the party's relationship between the grantor and the grantee, what goes on in there. And it's not that really that hard of a study in a long. In fact, we put it on I think it's one sheet of paper. Maybe two, I don't know. It ends with Fletcher versus Peck. And I've talked to you about all this stuff. Anyway, so if we don't go down that, and we don't show ourselves in another place other than where they put us, we are presumed to be the debtor without the rights. You only get the rights you gave. A lot of that's just due process. Despite this fact, presumptive upon everybody, there are those that say they are free. And today, while they're fraudulently locked down to the next tyrannical decree. Yeah. So the debtor not a master be, yet there are those who say they are free, while locked down to the next tyrannical decree. This is the poem of our life right now, and I exposed in last week's article. Pretty neat. So if you didn't read that article from last week, and then go through the Washington State Code after that I put in the blogcaster, and read the fact of what's going on, then sit back and really think deeply on the ramifications of this fact, this presumption against us. Even through a motor vehicle code impoundment case, which should show you how integrated it is and in the underlying subject matter that it touches, then you need to go back and look at all that. You really need to get this eyeball, because this is going to be a way for you to look at other things and see the very same accoutrements. He knows them when you see them. You'd be able to see what the deeds are. You'd never be able to start to identify how it works, where it's working, and then it starts going back into that idea of, well, how are they treating this to keep the cover, it's undercover. How do you keep that? A lot of it is just the costumes. It's the false front spaghetti western. Not because we just say, oh, you're a criminal. No, you have the ability to identify how what they're doing is not within the jurisdiction authorized by the legislative black and white that was authorized by the legislature to do so. You look and see whether the legislature had the right to do that, contrary to the obligations of the state before the legislature existed. Now, that is very particular to land disposal. But isn't land disposal considering the highway? Of course it is. Is that a regulable activity? The certain court cases will tell you that it is, but it's actually not. And I've identified how that is. And that's right in the code as well. It's not in the motor vehicle code. And so, but it's land disposal that we're talking about. It's obligations on the government. So this is the thing about using these words. You begin to avoid using, once you go and do this study and start thinking about it this way, restudy the battlefield that we're in. You start to avoid using the words that perfect those presumptions against you. You're bewildered by the language. We all complain about it. The bewildered beast. This is the nation, now it's a world, the bewildered beasts. Don't even understand the condition. They're bewildered. You know that herd being locked down by the veterinarians for no good reason? We talked about this original. These vaccines started in a military context for the military animals. And then they brought on the GI, and they brought on the human capital and the human resource. And no one saw that that's what they were doing, and through that jurisdiction and subject matter. Brought on by the veterinarians for caring for animals, the bewilder beasts. And we can tell that because no one's responding the way they should be. And to throw this off, yes, we're all resistive, but a small percentage of us left are still resistive, but most all have not been able, in fact, I think everybody that is anywhere notable has not actually presented the right and proper challenge, which is refuting the presumption they have authority to do any of this. So all the bewildered beasts are being locked down for no good reason and for something for which there is no test. And it's all imposed by not faithfully executing the law. And all I've been asking is somebody step up and do that. Somebody assert that the fraud, someone has. And we have the evidence of what that system will do, but we predicted that in the petition. It's like a self-fulfilling, self-inflicted problem that they have that we just called out. Which means you don't really expect the justice, but you'd hope that when all the other prairie dogs saw, we moved from bewildered beast to the prairie dog on the mountain, looking around to find out what's up, we run in our little hole when the eagle comes overhead. We don't tell each other, hey, there was a problem over there. What are we going to do about it? As all of us. There's no imposition, faithfully executed law. There's just an imposition without the faithfully executed law. What are we going to do with this? What does this mean? I don't mean just as we said, contemplate our navel over it. What does this mean in the context of us watching it and not really attacking it to stop it? Because, again, it was up to us, the people, and this is globally, and we're hearing it now. It's coming. It's just, I think it's in a slightly different way than it should, because it's not empowering. The power in the people is even greater than what you see in protest, I guess is the point I'm seeing. There's a way to execute upon them. I've given quite a few examples. We see evidence now of no faithful execution of law anywhere. And so let me move over then to the report that comes out of something that's always in the back of my mind, just sitting there and understanding some innocent people are in jail and the nastiness of the government under color, the Western, spaghetti Western of the wearing the white hat, doing justice and all that. And they're completely not. They're completely a war against the world. And it's multinational now. Militaries can work together. And I think they're kind of carving up. It's like an unsaid peace treaty militarily. You just learn to not attack each other and you go ahead and do your part of the sector of the world and we're going to do ours. And that's why you're watching going on through this Wuhan nonsense as we start exposing the underlying thing of Fauci, Fauci. I can't see how he's not a war criminal and getting away with it. And I told you where the authority for that was and why they have to do what it is in Title 50 so it doesn't go unsaid for people who haven't heard it. For people that half listen and don't put together, continue putting the dots together. This guy Assange coming up, now we know he had identified if there was a question before, he's a journalist, whatever he was doing, WikiLeaks, leaking information. We now get some more information about how they'll treat him, and we need to look at this for how they treat everybody, especially when you start to come out and be resistant. Anybody who's done this resistance type of thing and got caught up will recognize some of this, a lot of it actually. So this story becomes, in the back of my mind, continuing and on, and I don't know what more to do about it. I've offered what they should be doing. I've offered to people who have the more notoriety, certainly more notoriety, if not celebrity for sure, than I do. The word does not get out, and no one wants to consider and conceive what really needs to be the word out in the public instead of just remarking on how terrible it is. But we have more now. New files expose Australian government's betrayal of Julian Assange and detail his prison torment. And again, this is lessons to us. And to me, I'm telling you, we kind of go along. I always think about the guy and gal that's already been through this and you know that. And you go, yeah, well, we know that. That's why we don't do what we do. Or we don't do anything more. We just sit back or whatever we're doing. That's not the kind of lesson I think we need to learn here. I can identify it because I've been through it. I realize when you start to come against the system, it doesn't like you. And it has all the plausible justifications on how to do that, and you have to make some hard decisions. This guy is in a trap. He's in a deplorable condition. He's in worse than maybe, well, I can't say worse than where he would go in the United States, but the United States government is making sure he is not treated better, and the government of the UK is not helping that a bit. But documents provided exclusively to the Grey Zone detail Canberra's abandonment of Julian Assange, the Australian citizen, and provide shocking details of his prison suffering. And I don't really want to go more to that. We need to think about those people that have been caught up by the government, how it gets done, what they do to us, get prepared in our minds in case it happens to us so we can do what this guy's done. This guy's doing a remarkable job even staying as unstable as he is in the face of what he's doing. It's not easy. So we got to put our mind into what the government is willing to do under the color of spaghetti Western of benefits to the people. This, to me, is what can happen to anybody under what's coming in through COVID, and I think we're going to see that. I guess I want to just stop. There's nothing more to me to say. We either acknowledge this and have people in the UK start really hitting that system better, not complaining about his care, but actually starting to move remedies through. Really dig into what's available and say, you're not providing this, and we're going to stop. We're going to enjoin all this. We're going to prohibit certain things. We're going to require, mandate that you do certain things. And we want evidence of it. And it, even if it doesn't, if it stops, if the system wants to obstruct that, you have thousands of these cases going in. You overwhelm that system and call attention to it. This should be happening everywhere. Again, there's more of us than them. And I know it sounds futile, but again, this is how you vote. Our vote for COVID was to lock down and not say more. Just, oh, I'm not going to get the shot. That wasn't enough. It's going to get worse. Julian Assange, I feel completely helpless and to do something except to say, over there where they have the connection, they need to start looking in the black and white. They need to start showing where the system is not capable, because we're at a time in history. We're in the battle for our literal lives here, folks. COVID really allowed us to see that. I'm just excited about that part. I couldn't almost believe it. Like I said back in 2001, they went and done it. They pulled that trigger. And then, to my astonishment, nobody noticed. Nobody noticed. And then I told you they did it again. They said, here it comes. You didn't notice in 2020? They're going to come up and they're going to try and finish you off. And they did. And crickets. Fascinating. Oh, yeah, we all have our little bits of freedom here and there. And I can tell you, I haven't seen any of this COVID nonsense going out. When I go out, no one messes with me much. I guess I just look like a guy you just don't mess with, I suppose. I did take on the air of a terrorist anyway in 2001. I told you that. I figured we're all terrorists now, and look what happened. Within a month or two, we're all determined to be enemy combatants. You think that Julian Assange is different than us? We're just the next Julian Assange. We're just feeling smug in how protected we think we are because we're so smart, how we stay away. That's really not going to cut it now. So what do I do? I told you a long time ago, I don't find yet that I have I don't have standing. There's no one that harms me. I proceed and I do things and I keep people from messing with me. So I cut myself out of the herd that way a bit, folks. And so I help people that haven't. I try to help people. Whether they listen or not, that's the other thing. I keep, like I was listening to my last broadcast replaying right before this broadcast, complaining about someone else. You come with your predetermined ideas, you have no support for them, but darn it, you're not subject. And I'm thinking, but everything you did made you subject. Everything you did wasn't proper. Everything you thought wasn't really quite right. No, these people are playing for keeps, and they're not just. We're not there because there's justice. We're there to expose there's the injustice. And how we do that is that black and white standard, and we show that the system of the spaghetti western will not meet it. It's just a false front. It can't meet it. Why? Because it's got another thing planned. Okay, so I spent Julian Assange. He's explained now in papers that have gotten to the gray zone. You can determine what that's telling us, what's going on, the abject injustice going on. Why it continues, I don't know, without more complaint. I don't understand, because, again, just the protest is not going to be enough. Exposing to people that, if it's to be agreed that 75% of the people in general or so have gotten the jab, it's to expose to them those people whether they can see or not. Maybe they're not even capable. I don't know. But to expose that this thing was not set up right. And you don't speak in complicated terms. And I know I may have a little bit of trouble. Yeah, I get laughs on that. I've been working really hard to make the statement simple. Make a short sentence that's the point. It takes a lot of work to get there. But you do that and you get people that don't understand or are troubled or, more importantly, fearful. And you start to speak that truth. And you just keep, don't be a bore about it, but where you get the opportunity, you bring it up. And so I don't know what more to say. But there's someone who's speaking out who's in a position of authority. Again, I have a trouble with everybody speaking on the mitigation side. You stand up and you say you have rights when you're presumed to be the animal, the human animal, under veterinary care. And you don't stand up beyond that to say, but there was no law fulfilled in the communicable disease requirements of any jurisdiction to qualify this thing. We don't say that. No, we say, I have rights, and I'm going to resist till the bitter end. And I don't know what people haven't figured this out. They mean your end. If that means getting rid of you, then that's what it means. If you resist, all the better. They have the dynamic against you, and you've never made the record more than your resistance, if you will, your statement, which is inspiring, but it may not be effectual. And I set that up maybe diminish this, but I don't mean to diminish this. I want to run this next few minutes of a statement from Christine Anderson. She's from the EU Parliament. She sees the problem. She tells you she was against the vaccines in Europe. You folks need to listen, and then you need to take her inspiration, and then you need to listen behind the woodshed and apply the fact that no jurisdiction found an isolated and infectious agent, and that they can't. There is no test. That's a fraud. Everybody pressing the fraud should either show and break down the system to answer to the fraud, which it can't, and it's self-evident, or every jurisdiction has no remedy, and the people are now justified showing the futility of the system to do what it was established to do in every place in the world, for the people to rise up and demand and or cause it to be changed. My problem with saying that is that most people, like, you can't read, you don't want to know, understand it. No, hardly anybody, it seemed to me, went to a lot of this last week's article to understand what has gone in there, what is sitting there that will defeat you before you even get started. It's one thing to have the inspiration. It's one thing to be determined to resist and do start, but it's another thing to affect that. The knowledge of the wrong is not necessarily going to help anybody, and I haven't seen knowledge alone do that. And so I just have a couple pathways that seem to be a lot more straight than a lot of other things going on. Nobody that I've looked at actually gets to the point still after all this time. And yet, I'm encouraged that there's really this mass awareness of this problem. They're coming at it the back door about what is this thing. I mean, it seems, now I think even maybe people are seeing that the boosters are actually continuing and causing this connection to the surges. Why people haven't recognized that before now is really an astonishing to me. But let me play this for a few minutes. Christine Anderson, very inspirational. I just hold back in my mind calling out the fraud, actually getting that out, and putting the onus on the government, on all governments where it belongs. Don't stand and put yourself on the line when you don't have to. Put them on the line. Put them on the pike that their head should already be. But here we have Christine Anderson, a powerful speech. I want to play this, and hopefully it'll come out clean. Here we go.
Without further ado, I would like my colleague, Christine Anderson, to have the opening.
Yes, hello. First of all, thank you very much for all of you that went to great lengths to express your support to us in an overwhelmingly huge amount of emails. Thank you so much. We're doing this for you. All through Europe, governments have gone to great lengths to get people vaccinated. We were promised the vaccinations will be a game changer and it will restore our freedom. Turns out none of that was true. It does not render you immune. You can still contract the virus and you can still be infectious. The only thing this vaccine did for sure was to spill billions and billions of dollars in the pockets of pharmaceutical companies. I voted against the digital green certificate back in April. Unfortunately, it was adopted nonetheless. And this just goes to show there is only a minority of MEPs who truly stand for European values. The majority of MEPs, for whatever reasons unbeknown to me, obviously support oppression of the people while claiming shamelessly to do it for the people's own good. But it is not the goal that renders a system oppressive. It is always the methods by which the goal is pursued. Whenever a government claims to have the people's interests at heart, you need to think again. In the entire history of mankind, there has never been a political elite sincerely concerned about the well-being of regular people. What makes any of us think that it is different now? If the Age of Enlightenment has brought forth anything, then certainly this. Never, take anything any government tells you at face value. Always question everything any government does or does not do. Always look for ulterior motives and always ask cui bono, who benefits. Whenever a political elite pushes an agenda this hard and resorts to extortion and manipulation to get their way, you can almost always be sure your benefit is definitely not what they had at heart. As far as I'm concerned, I will not be vaccinated with anything that has not been properly vetted and tested and has shown no sound scientific evidence that the benefits outweigh the disease itself and possible long-term side effects, which, to this day, we don't know anything about. I will not be reduced to a mere guinea pig by getting vaccinated with an experimental drug. And I will most assuredly not get vaccinated because my government tells me to and promises in return I will be granted freedom. Let's be clear about one thing. No one grants me freedom, for I am a free person. So I dare the European Commission and the German government throw me in jail, lock me up and throw away the key for all I care. But you will never be able to coerce me into being vaccinated if I, the free citizen that I am, choose not to be vaccinated. Lastly, I would like you to think about this one. The compulsory use of the digital green certificate undermines everything that Europeans stand for. It violates constitutionally guaranteed fundamental rights, and it constitutes the first step towards the insufferable Chinese social credit system. I will never stand for this. I will never put up with this. Thank you.
So we hear that she recognized the extortion and the method, and this is what I've been focusing on, the method and how to defeat it or at least neutralize it. She comes out and calls it extortion right off the bat. What have I said? As soon as the duty is not fulfilled by an official, they're affecting a fundamental right or adversely affecting you, there's likely extortion, coercion, or conversion of whatever the property and or pertinent rights are to that. She's saying the same thing. Perfect. I hope people heard her. This actually happened a couple weeks ago. I don't get to all of them. I want to make sure today I get to that again. So this, some of you may have heard that. What I want to offer is that she is called, this is like a call to arms. What I want to also show, she does not have to fall on her sword. I would not agree that the government would have the right to throw me in, do whatever they will with me. I call out first that they didn't have the power, authority, or non-fraudulent exigency to make any demand. And so, I'm trying to show people you need to focus the point. You need to stop being the victim or the one with the burden to act and shift it where it's to go. And you don't do that by mere opinion. Why? I've went immediately in the beginning of this, even when I didn't know. Even after I told you it was coming, I didn't know exactly, I said, but it's this medical tyranny's coming. And when they finally head fake their way to a certain direction, then you follow. You follow where the head was telling you it was going to go. Then I went immediately, before they even issued the first orders, I told you how to defeat it. And it was to go the black and white of the communicable disease code. She could have relied on this. She can still rely on it. I guess what I'm saying here, those of you in the European Union, you have some MEPs. You'll get the link to this video. I also have one to a different website, but it didn't let me play it. The player was no good, but so I had to use the one on YouTube, and it's still up. Contact this MEP. Contact the ones around her. Start to offer there's an objective basis to get before this problem so you don't have to sacrifice yourself. There's no reason to agree that they would have a right to do this. And I think that's going to be, I would hope people would feel that's the better position. So you don't even have a right, you official. You have not complied in the first instance to be able to make any demands. And so, I think that's a better position. I understand it's a powerful statement to say I'm willing to fall on my sword. I'm saying, no, that's not that we don't need to do that yet. This is not a mercenaries type condition. This is also, we're not martyring, not the word martyr. It was an M word. Anyway, so, I think there's a better way. I think there's a better message to speak. And I think she needs to be sort of supported. Those of you in the European Union, take what I've been saying, apply the step before her having to say that she needs to fall on her sword. She doesn't need to do that. There's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or 6 of these people that are now available to you. As I said, find the governor in the states. Find the governors conducive. Ask them, why don't they just end, follow the communicable disease law of their state and find that there was never a test done for the infectious agent, let alone an infectious principle upon which the communicable disease law could work to provide for the emergency. Have them go there instead. They can end this literally overnight. It's a show. It's a spaghetti western false front that the states are resisting Biden because there's nothing there. And until there is, and objectively shown, there's nothing more to do. And you need to be in numbers telling your local jurisdictions about that, if it's not just directly hitting the governor, since the courts folded immediately on plan. I can only see this as on plan to allow this usurpation, applying a foreign standard of law, a foreign standard. Well, actually, it's no law. It's a foreign. They're utilizing a weakness in our system. Somebody really analyzed. I really am appreciative of their intelligence to see what happened here. They really exploited an Achilles heel in the system. And they realized my listeners, wouldn't respond properly, let alone not at all, essentially. It's not a surprise to me that the system would be resistant in the first court case challenging the fraud. What they did there just opens them up, to my mind, to complete injustice that the justice system is. It's criminal justice, the oxymoron. There is no real law, but we can then point that out, that there was also then the problem, not many people could care less about the fact that there's no law. We've lost our minds. We're bewildered beasts. We are the herd that the veterinary, our military veterinary is now attempting to vaccinate, inoculate with the next iteration of controls. There will be those of us that will resist. Christine Anderson is an example. For me, even we're both resisting to just walk with the herd. We've cut ourselves out mentally, for sure, and physically to this extent. But me looking at what they're doing here in this statement is not far enough away from the herd to the point where we watch that those that were tasked and took the oath to impose and faithfully execute the law, that they faithfully executed it. And when you start to come a little better, and you get, especially with these issues that are so far removed from authority, you can shut them down. Oklahoma District Court suspends Catholic hospitals' vaccine mandate. I mean, how nuts is this story on its face, just in the title? But the Oklahoma District Court suspends the Catholic hospital's vaccine mandate because it did not allow and denied every religious exemption that federal law provides for. Catholic hospital denied religious exemptions. Did not allow them. How nuts is that? And that's so nuts that the court came in, and it's a federal court, but you look very carefully, as I've been talking, they went through the religious discrimination problem, which is Title 29. It's not your local state law. Not to say that the fraud precluded this, that the necessity hasn't been shown. It was to say it's so far wrong that this church denied what federal law requires, to not discriminate against people. Just what I was telling you about the proper affidavit would impose against them was challenging the fraud and saying that there was no way to deny. There's no provision in the law, the black and white, in your state to allow that. Anyway, so these people, a church denied a religious exemption for everybody is pretty interesting in its insanity. And so that was going to happen until someone stepped up. So in the EU, the MEP Christine Anderson talking she will resist. I don't hear anything about moving forward and stopping. It's just, I'm going to wait till they come and take me. And you can do that. I'll agree that you can do that. And you can do what you will with me. And that's her answer. It's not an answer for us, folks. I agree that there's the resistance. I don't agree with the application. I don't agree we have to even put up with that. It's not about protesting they can't do it to us. It's that they don't have the right, the power, to even make that decision. And how? Not because you say so. Because the communicable disease law provided a requirement by the lawmakers, so-called, even policy, to do certain things. And they're not fulfilled. Does that mean that I'd say that there's nothing out there that might be dangerous? That was my silver, the needle in the haystack. We don't know what's out there if they're doing a lie against what they're doing, and then we find out that it's all fabricated, it's all synthetic. I told you there may be an influenza out there that they have not been treating, that is getting worse and worse, that not quite enough of the population has seen it. On top of it affecting our comorbidities that we might have in places we don't even know. We don't even understand that. So, certainly not precluding the fact that there could be something, but it's not COVID-19 as a set of symptoms. And it certainly is not something under which there was no test. And yet I hear nobody hitting that directly. You don't have the power. You have not been delegated the power, the jurisdiction, or the authority to make the decisions that you make, to create the determinations for emergencies that you have. That's the first step. Then we get, nor which law would provide if you did show you haven't overreached. So you see, my statement for you to say would be, start with the fraud that they haven't done what the duty of the law says to have the police power prerogative to say. Then, if they did show, they have already exceeded that authority. When you look in your constitutions, you'll see there's protections in the constitutions even against the emergencies. Why don't I hear this stuff? It's astonishing. Even a Catholic church is denying religious exemptions to everybody. It's nuts. Actually, it is funny. I think Richard Pryor would be laughing at this one. Something really strange is happening at hospitals all over America. Again, this is a story from, I think, a week and a half ago, email sent to me. I'm not really focused on these, but this was an important and interesting look at what's going on in other places. I found an interesting, in the second link I'll give you, a very interesting insight. When I started to check, I said, what's the population that would be resistant, that may be speaking up, that gives us the second link I'm going to talk about? And it looks like again, it's another proof, an implied proof, but there's not as many people actually taking the jabs as we're being told by the government. And there is a large mass of people that are not putting up with it. And we see that a local publisher will actually look fairly objectively and speak to the condition where something really strange is happening. And what they're saying is that emergency rooms are filled to overflowing all over America. Nobody can seem to explain why this is happening. Right now, the number of new COVID cases in the United States each day is less than half of what it was just a couple of months ago. That is really good news, and many believe this is a sign the pandemic is fading. Let us hope that is true. With less people catching the virus, you would think that would mean that our emergency rooms should be emptying out, but just the opposite is happening. And so we start looking at this is just a Zero Hedge report talking about this, and this report, I had to wonder if this was a satire. I had to wonder if this was like fiction view, nonfiction. Was this sarcastic? Because when you see what they say here, what they're seeing happening now, the identifiable harms that are coming in. I had to say, was this satire? Is this a backhanded way to get in to show people this is all identifiable as to what the cause is? And they go through and they explain what the doctors are seeing now. People coming in, subsequent to what? Subsequent to these vaccinations and these boosters. And they highlight something and says that the main things that are being treated are, well, listen, and you got to be comparative, put a comparative list on symptoms, what's going on. Put this in a list in your mind as you read. I thought this was a joke. I thought this, I didn't, And it's not a joke in a way, because even if the guy's ignorant, he's telling us something, the Zero Hedge article. Because I can go to another article, I'll tell you, and the guy goes through a much better analysis. And the problem is, if that's a setup, that guy in the next article, I'm actually talking about the next article more, he deserves a Pulitzer Prize. He hit everything perfectly as a journalist would, and on the points that would help to explain the condition. If it's fabricated, he fabricated interviews that were perfectly on point to expose literally both sides of the problem and still get to the same answer. Listen to this list, and you tell me what this may also compare to. The hospitals receiving people with abdominal pain, respiratory problems, blood clots, and heart conditions. So this author says that the heart conditions immediately got my attention. Yeah. Obviously, because that's in the news. So, and the blood clots. And respiratory problems. And then, if you've looked at that list, I hope those of you that have been listening or doing study, you realize those are all the effects that were explained by the manufacturers of these chemical weapons in their adverse effects and their anticipated adverse effects. Now, how many times do you need to see this list? And we go down later, we got suicide attempts added onto the list. That doesn't also state another underlying condition that the manufacturers of these chemical weapons stated themselves in what they were looking for in their tests. Caused me to think this has got to be satire. This is coming like the point was, they're asking the question in this article. How does this make sense? Can anyone explain why this is happening? When I saw that, after the list, I kind of broke a quick little laugh. This list is the harms that are gotten by the jab. This is what they told us was going to happen. And this article, this first article, wants to ask, can anybody explain this? And I'm saying, yeah, that's pretty well explainable. And then I saw this, Ventura County nurses blow the whistle on crisis at local health care. And they go, and this is a really neat article. If this is a fraud, if this is a made-up article, like I said, the author of this needs to have a Pulitzer Prize. Because he goes through an interview, and he's interviewing the nurses in these medical facilities out of Ventura County. You know, Ventura County nurses from different sectors and specialties are coming forward to blow the whistle on what they deem serious lapses in local healthcare practices, mostly related to COVID-related protocols, vaccine mandates, and politically and financially motivated bullying of medical staff, which these healthcare workers say is seriously compromising the general quality of care. At the end of this story, I think a nurse says what it is. I think this is the phrase that needs to go forward. But they're talking inside. Like I said, this is seems to be a very genuine attempt to find interviewees that would state the truth, notwithstanding the pressure they're on. You hear right here they're being bullied. When you get in the story, they are being bullied. The doctors will bully the nurses. The doctors are bought into it. They see no... You know, they use the lack of scientific evidence to justify their protocols and treatments or their dismay that you'd even consider alternatives or that's not. And yet they don't look at the fact that there is no actual proof of any infectious agent. And so we see right in the story how this all comes together. We see the story repeated across, and I'd seen this before, but it didn't make, you know, it wasn't much importance. I don't really keep tracking. When I kind of realize what I think is going on, I really start focusing more down on how to defeat this thing. But this was brought to me in an email, a question. I thought it was a joke, but it's not because they're telling us the truth. I guess the joke was they're asking this as a question when they are in the articles telling us that it's coming from what the manufacturers said are the adverse effects they anticipated from these chemical weapons. Again, synthetic. There's not a biological organism one in these things at all. And this report goes on how the reporter, the journalist, goes on to journal how the history of this has worked out, relating different stories about what's going on, what the the nurses inside or technicians are seeing, what that can only relate to, the problem of the VAER system, the difficulty with it, the reluctance to use it. And then we see another heading, voodoo statistics. Well, that is the term epidemiology, or the epidemiological proof and data. That is voodoo statistics. Epidemiology has been defined by the CDC to be science, and all it is statistics. That's fraud. That's cooking the books. That's outcome-based risk management, not science. And yet they've redefined science to do that, like they've redefined what a vaccine is. They now admit these were not made to prevent a thing, not prevented to make any prevention or transmissibility. That is not a vaccine. More importantly, it violates the local jurisdiction relative to, regardless of what the vaccine is titled, the local jurisdiction cannot use a vaccine where it's admitted to not prevent, where their duty is to prevent. And if you go back to that communicable disease code, you don't have to argue anymore. You say, even if you can show that there's not the non-fraudulent exigency for this so-called emergency you called a communicable disease, you can't use these things because they don't prevent, and your duty is only to prevent. Go read it, folks. Go read the black and white. I hope this is simple enough for most people. Even if the vaccines are redefined by the federal government, the duty of the state never changed. It's not to prolong, it's not to reduce, it's to prevent. And that's supposed to be on a case-by-case basis, not the case epidemiological view, but by men and women, and now babies coming in, having problems and getting tests, which they should never have gotten. They should have challenged that there was any meaning to that PCR tool at all, and had the basis to challenge it. And why would they test for it anyway? There's never been an official determination that fits on the list of reportable diseases. And they can't. There is no test. We're back to this very basic beginning again. We don't have to throw ourselves on the sword. All we have to do is out that these people are, I don't know what the name of it, they're just psychopath criminals, every one of these jurisdictions that have looked past, and it's all a bribe on top of it. It's all organized criminal syndicate tree that we can get right back to the top and the beginning. The foister of it all is Fauci. Fall prey to his name. The name Fauci means in a context of its own language to fall prey to. Literally, it means jaws, to chew. And boy, hasn't he. But this is a mobster. This is an organized criminal syndicate going on under the color of government agency. Anyway, so I'm slowing up. I just start thinking about this stuff. This actually was a really cool story, this Ventura County nurse's blow whistle. If this is a story, not just a made-up fiction, this author needs a Pulitzer Prize. This is, as I was reading through it, I said, this guy, if he wasn't on a mission to uncover every stone, he has an imagination that uncovered every stone, if it's fiction. That I want you, again, like last week, I want you to read this. It's a very well-done thing. It opens up what the inside of the nurses are saying, the pressures that are inside. You actually see what I told you early on, that doctors, the ones that cared, the nurses, they actually believed there was something real because of the way they were told, and they just accepted their administrators. What their administrator said, which is fine when you're dealing with what you think to be an emergency. This proved to me the doctors inside initially, the nurses, they believed it to take extra special precautions with their own families. This was all administration driven. That comes from outside of medical care. And the licensee, the doctor and the nurses, is subject to what they would call ethical response. That's the other thing. And they're not able to, in the moment, the heat of the moment, if you will, to challenge that. And they're of the mindset that this is real. It was done well. I'm not going to begrudge anybody to not think this was real in a normal capacity. Only someone like myself who hasn't engaged with all the rigmarole of society in lots of ways maybe was able to see that it was happening. I had a totally different focus, something that most people don't have. And I was able to tell you, here it comes, folks. I was able to figure out what needed to be the answer. But nobody in society, nobody has been educated into all this. In fact, licensees are not educated on their knowledge and how to do things right. They're educated on their ethical response to keep them from liability. And that's an important distinction to understand. As long as they follow the rules, it's kind of like the soldier thing. As long as you follow the rules and you do something that happens, as long as you're following the rules, then you're protected. Even the soldier called a cop does the same thing. They follow the rules, they're protected. They're not liable privately as long as they were trained that way. And so when you understand that the licenses aren't necessarily what you know about medicine and practice, even though they may have questions about it, it's really more testing that you have on record that you know that there's an ethical boundary of under which you will conduct your criminal activity, ultimately, because licensors are needed only where their permission to do what would be otherwise unlawful. Figure that one out. You want to talk about an inverted system, and when I talked last week about being a debtor, and you're underneath that presumption, then you start to understand why it's that way when you find out your system is sitting in a big fiscal abyss. And that is the ruling the day. And it ends up now ruling the world. We saw, I think, the IMF lady, she says, you know, this vaccine policy is economic and monetary policy. It's going to surmount all that. And so we're back to all that. So all keeps coming around. The debt. Your obligation. And no one says, wait a minute, I'm not obligated to all that. And beyond saying, oh, I'm not the person, I'm not the straw man, oh, it's not my name. No, there's a whole other thing to have to present. And you do it a different way. You just don't do it in front of the executor of what they think is the law. You have to do it before you got there. And then if you're doing it in front of an executor, you're doing a record-setting thing to challenge that in at least two ways. One, through the harm of the process they're offering you, and then one that the due process, antecedent all that, says you get to do to stop that tyranny. Even in face of the overall injustice. As I said, at some point it's just a neutralization. The best... We haven't been able to follow through. Once I've figured some of this out and done some paperwork on it, we get a stalemate. They don't proceed against anybody, but we don't get the justice that would be required were law available. And so at this point, in this battle, a stalemate is, I'll take it, because I have my eye on what it's supposed to do, and that'll be the test. When we finally break through, we won't be seeing the stalemate anymore. Otherwise, you get run down. You get blown down. You get blown over. You come subject to the system, and you hope and pray that you did it enough right. And there's a recent, really recent court case I'm not going to talk about. We just saw that happen. And everyone thinks, oh, we're the system works. Well, no. Actually, when you look very carefully, it's not working. As I've talked to you about all this stuff, it's the same way to look at it. So there's something going on. The hospitals are filling up again. I didn't go to the hospital and check this out. I'm going to take this on face value for what it looks like it is. I'm going to look between the lines and say, I think this Ventura story is really well written if it's a fiction. But if not, it's telling us the truth. And it's telling us what we were told and it predicted. And we are getting and seeing the fruit of those people that are taking that job, regardless of what we're being told by the officials. And so we look and say, okay, well, they're meaning this in earnest. They did this from an administrative side. In other words, when you go to these administrators to try and get anything, they're already down the path before you get there. They've got it mostly all worked out. And when I tell you that, it just recurs to me to tell you that's why you've got to derail the path they thought you were going to go down by saying, well, I'm just here to talk to you because you're on this path, but we're actually supposed to be way over there. And because you haven't done what you're supposed to do, you can't get way over there. And when you can't get way over there, you've just shown me you violated me. In other words, when you didn't show the necessity to impose all this, every one of these people in these hospitals can say the same thing. where is the isolated infectious agent? I don't want the presumptively one. I want the one that the code says I'm to prevent against. Under the suggestion, not the rule, but the suggestion of an official. Why? Because the primary caregiver, the exclusive jurisdiction of that is the doctors. Maybe not in a hospital setting where it's an emergency, because they just do what it takes to stop the problem, and then they let you go on to the next caregiver, the one that you should have or can get. But that's where the jurisdiction is. And if they, again, you're worried about getting the test, if they haven't, if an official hasn't gotten a report on you, and you're faced with this, you say, show me the report that it was given to me in the assessment, that they've identified anything. I need the official report. I need the official assessment that I have the infectious agent. How'd they get that? Before you start treating me for something that you don't even know exists. So, there's something going on, and all it is apparently is the response to the bodies of people against these vaccinated people. They do offer some numbers about unvaccinated people, but when you look at the balance, there's really, it's not, the problems are not coming from the unvaccinated other than being sick, which could still be whatever that thing is rolling through the society, which if it is the influenza and it's a very bad strain, we're going to see that. We're going to keep seeing that. And we might see more because the boosters reduce everybody who may have been protected by their immune system. It reduces your ability to respond to any next thing, and that could be that flu coming back again. And so it's a self-inflicted wound, and it's a setup on how they have learned to look forward and take us down before we even started on the journey. And the point there is we never should have gone on the journey. We should have never taken that path. We should have said, no, big bad wolf, I don't need to go down that path into that dark forest until you show me why I have to. And that's on you to do, not me. I don't have to defend myself. And so we have interesting stories. What's going on? It all looked to me, I thought it was a joke, but given that this puts the truth, let's just say there was an honest question. Can anybody explain this? By the time we got to the symptoms, I'm saying yes, I think I can. And the death jab, the chemical weapons manufacturers in a jab, told us what that is. We're seeing that roll through now. ERs are swamped with seriously ill patients, although many don't have COVID. Of course not. Why might that be? The test. They've augmented the test. If you have a vaccine, they just reduce the cycles. They can't see it. And it's not anything anyway. They don't just test for the synthetic, do they? If I'm not looking for the synthetic, I can't see it. And so they can, I told you this was coming, that they can just show, oh, people are just being sick. It has nothing to do with COVID. Of course not. This is confirmation through this other story set where apparently the hospitals are having a bunch of people with lots of different illnesses, suspiciously consistent with the professed harms that may come with the jab. Well, I just want to stop. What else do I say here? If you can predict the future on something because of a rational, logical set of consequences based on action, how is it that not the better proof than us guessing? Us keeping the question going. And us allowing that question to divide us. Because this is not going to happen if we're divided. I just can't see how this is going to happen. And this is the soft touch that has to happen from those of us that may seem that we can substantiate what we're talking about relative to not the insanity of the psychopath. That's why I resort to the objective basis. I don't know how anybody can argue that if in their locale someone, the official has not determined for either you or the one you're talking to that you are the infectious principal with a list-related communicable disease agent, infectious agent. I don't see how those people, other than, I mean, complete fear and locked out, how they can not question, at least question, how are they supposed to tell anybody to treat something that no one has identified yet? At least for the two people talking, or the three, or the little group. Where the law says there's supposed to be a report, and there was supposed to be an assessment on the report, and you look around the room, have you had your reports? And no one says yes, then how do you know, officially, that anybody has anything? And I want to caution us, because if there's somebody there, and it did do a test, like we know there are some tests for other diseases, we'd want to know that instead of putting them underneath the COVID-19 symptom blanket. We want to know what the cause is. Not the probable cause here, the actual cause. So again, in Michigan, same thing, Sparrow Hospital, Lansing, Michigan. Staff members are struggling to care for patients showing much sicker than ever they've ever seen before. Much sicker than ever before. Where is the lack of ability to put two and two together here? Before what? Anyway, I don't want to, it should be obvious here. I want people to see there's some evidence coming out now. We can start seeing the ramifications of these things. And I just want to keep pointing out that it's all these effects have happened to actions, and it's like the unspeakable thing that went on, the unspeakable abuse that went on to the animals, the unspeakable abuse that's actually going to start going on with the children, and no one wants to speak about it. And what it was that nobody came first and actually identified what the thing is that they were fighting. And yet they took something that was predicted to do everything that's coming into the hospitals right now. And people can't put two and two together. Well, they can't. They're just not. So I said, was that first story a joke? Well, it's a very well done story. It's like an onion. I thought it was an onion story. It's very well done that way, in a way. If he's honestly, not honestly, but kind of just presenting this as a fictional question, he did a good job because he's pointed out the very same things that the pharmaceutical company said would happen to you when you took that chemical weapon into you. And I talked about the children. They're moving on. You know this. This is like 2 weeks ago information. Pfizer tells kids Vax will make them superheroes, give them superpowers. If you don't see the attack and the abuse of your little ones, your offspring, your sons and daughters, through this kind of advertising promotion, Pfizer tells kids they'll be superheroes. If that doesn't make you sick to your stomach and just make you irate, and in a way that you don't really have an ability to really fight that, you could. It takes a little bit more thought. But on the surface, they can say whatever they want. On the surface, they can say everything that's abstract. They're just tying, it's like the premium advertising. They tie something you want to feel was something you ought to do. It's like how they got women to smoke. It's how they got women to vote without understanding what that really was and what that status actually did. And they end up being more, and by their consent, they're moved into another status which is actually able for the system to beat down better and faster, more directly, that they didn't have before. When you understand these statuses and what they were doing, you understand there's a whole other thing that's being exploited against people. This is the prime example here. Coming after your kids, calling them, letting them believe they'll be superheroes. The height of abuse. The height of what should be considered a war against mankind. Going after your little ones. Calling them superheroes for something that they have no ability to understand. And then pulling out from the protections that were there. Pulling out because they claim they have tyrannical powers now. They have decrees they can make that that's okay to do because we have a so-called emergency. But no one says to what exactly. Not presumed, not probable cause. What is the actual cause? Pfizer tells kids the vaccine will make them superheroes. What kid doesn't want to be a superhero? Right? This is the promotion that came on right before U.S. gives final clearance to Pfizer COVID vaccines for kids age 5 to 11. You think, folks? You think there's a plan? U.S. health officials on Tuesday gave final sign-off to Pfizer's, remember the P's are silent, all this stuff, kid-sized COVID-19 shot. A kid-sized COVID-19 shot, a major expansion of the nation's vaccine campaign. It's a campaign. It's a military campaign, folks. The Food and Drug Administration already authorized the shots for children ages 5 to 7 before that. Both the CDC recommends that who should receive FDA-cleared vaccines. Are they really, when you look at them? Are they actually vaccines? No, I've just told you how you go back and track back through to show they're not, and you go back to the original authority, Communicable Disease Law. It can't be a national campaign. It has to be local. And it has to be case by case. Not the case number epidemiologically, by the report and the assessment for someone, you, or your son or daughter, or your husband, or your boyfriend, whoever it is, a male, or your male counterpart in your life, or the males in the world, and the, did I say male? The man, yeah? The insect, when I said male, female, insect, animal. No, see, they've got these words. You don't even understand they're treating you like the animal to be under veterinary care. And that's not what you're supposed to be doing, and that's not what the government was supposed to be ordering. And they're treating you like that. That's why you're not getting your due process, which would say there had to be a report of a communicable disease on the list, the assessment of which said I did have, not I'm likely to have or presumed to have, maybe could have, should have had. And then, based on that, for your life, what the treatment ought to be underneath physician's care. No, there's a national campaign of a vaccination that's not, that doesn't do what your local law would protect you if you would rely on it, for preventing the thing, preventing what they even claim. They've admitted it does not do that. To me, I don't know what the story, I don't even need to tell you more. The last almost two years now, all you needed to see is that your local law said the local officials only, and that it extends to the governor, can only do things in communicable disease to prevent the disease. And these so-called vaccines, even given the new definition, by admission and by fact, do not. The vaccines are outside of the jurisdiction of the local official to demand. I don't even have to get to the fact that they don't have an isolate. It can't, it doesn't prevent anything. And so, there's lots of ways to get at this when you get at it, but now we have the promotion to the superhero, the kids that want to be superheroes, and then right after that, we get the follow-through with the government, the Federal Death Commission, and whatever. This is what they're doing to you. It's all a mobster, organized criminal syndicate that's understood how to violate people, how to use the terms in the law, like I'm asking you to do, but not as loopholes. Actually use it to protect you. This dual use was present the whole entire time. I don't think anybody identified it for what it was. You can go down now back and see that it was. You can see that they did use that, but it wasn't understood up until very recently. This is the Title 50 stuff that I've been talking about for a decade or more. Way longer. And so, this is it coming on us. They're after your kids. I told you the little goats. Talked about all that. They do the setup for the takedown, the promotion. Big money behind advertisement. You're going to make your kids superheroes. What kid doesn't want to be a superhero? Wow. And kid size, no. Fascinating what they're doing to us. And so the other thing is, keep your kids watching TV. Keep your kids talking to people or engaging with friends that believe they're going to be superheroes. You really have to sit down with your kids and say, no, that's not the superhero you're supposed to be. If you're supposed to be one and you want to be one, let's be one that's got something that it's actual and real. Maybe this is the Santa Claus discussion you have to have now about the COVID fraud, coronavirus bogus, the one in the monster in the closet. As U.S. Cities mandate Pfizer jabs for kids, other countries are suspending them over health risks. I don't know, you think, folks? I mean, I don't know what to say more. It's all in the news. If you just look at it, we see it. You need to protect your sons and daughters. Get them out of school. Start doing your own thing. Protect them. Isolate them right now. You want to be locked down against this stuff. That's for sure. And explain that to them somehow and get with other mothers and fathers that are doing the same thing. Privatize your life in better ways than what we're seeing here. Just as the FDA approved the Pfizer jab after previous to that, Pfizer communicating to this little ones that they want if they want to be superheroes, they get more of this poison. Just as FDA approved the Pfizer jab for kids 5 to 11 in the United States, medically tyrannical cities like San Francisco jumped on the opportunity to restrict the travel of children. Almost immediately after the emergency use authorization approval, San Francisco health officials announced that small children ages 5 to 11 will now have to have proof of vaccination status to get into gyms, restaurants, swimming pools, and large events like Warriors games. Maybe it's time for protection of your little ones to not go there now, folks. Given that it wasn't even available for children to take the jab, officials stated that there will be a small grace period, but that ultimately kids, little goats, will be forced their veterinary care to show their papers before the new year. So I've been telling you it's coming down. They're destroying your family. Keep it up by being silent or start. See, we're finding also some resistance. They don't want to give you that letter that says they haven't found the infectious agent. So I'm transitioning over in another way to go about it. You just declare the fact of their failure to declare where the duty was required that they are not and that they're fraudulently withholding that they didn't. And so there's a different way you make a notice of that. You make that record and you keep that letter. And this requires a little bit of setup. It requires that you at least have that in your pocket. So when they start to demand this, you can do what I've been saying all along. Where are you? Is your authority to make a determination that not even my medical care healthcare professional has, the state has not, the local official has not, relative to the communicable disease law, that you're not trespassing on me, violating my rights. This is almost a hybrid of the accommodation principle, but I don't want to go there because that's making healthy people disabled, and in a very particular and certain way. Otherwise, you don't get that. So, they're coming after your kids. It's a setup. The track and trace is down to your kids. I guess you're going to have to get them a phone, too. All these added costs. You're getting trained into this new system of social credit. Do what you're told. Your behavior. Be afraid. I'll stop here. It goes on and on, folks. These stories go on and on about what they're doing and what they're coming. They set up the advertisement. The government's involved with the advertisement to sell your kids into doing what they maybe ought not to do. Women smoking. And then you find out it's no good for you. Women voting. And then you find out that's a status of servitude, not what it was promoted. That you'd have been better just to have a freedom from all that. And as I've explained to you, how when you don't have that benefit, there's still the objective basis that you're going to rely on in, if you will, the obligation side of government, not the administrative commerce side or the benefit side, that they are obligated to cover without any liability, as I've been explained early on in this broadcast and over. There's a different place to look at that they are obligated. No, it doesn't matter what the election was. It doesn't matter what party they're for. And that's an interesting thing to finally realize. I finally realized that. Again, the mining law helped explain that. It doesn't matter who's in office. They still have these obligations on them. In fact, their oath ties them to it. That you're going to enjoy that or not is a whole different question. And we're likely seeing that there's going to be resistance against doing that. And likely that's because of the attorneys. And they are there in two capacities. One, they're ignorant as well of certain subject matter, but they're also there as a force to be reckoned with in the liability side under the ethics concerns, or whether they would say they are following the law or not. That usually never includes the savings clauses. Those are there's nobody that's presumed that way, so they don't even consider it. So that will happen sooner or later, about 8 weeks after the vaccine is available to the kids. We're talking about having to show papers, and so there will be a limited time in which there will not be those requirements in our plan, but then at some point, 5 to 11-year-olds will also have to show proof of vaccination to access some of those same settings. And this gets us back to the ability to say, where's your facility manager? You haven't gotten the paperwork that you need to declare any power or mitigation need upon me. Now you're trespassing me. You're violating my right to open access. You don't need a status at that point. Anyway, so gets us back to what I've been talking about for months and months and months, over almost 2 years now, on what we were going to be facing. They're after your little ones. Here they are. They're promoting it. The government's allowing the promotion. We're all superheroes now, folks. It's what they opened up. They even pleaded to so-called adult insects, the adult animals. You're going to help the herd. Who are you to not help the herd? It's not about that. That's a psychological attack. That's a psyop. And you have to be able to have a tool to stop that, and I think I have offered it if people would just start to use it more. And they're going to have to. Otherwise, as you see, a Catholic church, a Catholic organization owning a hospital will deny religious exemptions outright to their workers. Nutty. How nutty is this? Bill Gates warns of smallpox terror attacks and urges leaders to use germ games. So, telegraphing the future, this guy Bill Gates, I don't know where he's become an expert. He has software that needs to be patched, and it's no good at all. Yet we want to believe him in the medical side. He wants to talk. He's got no part of it, but he's in GAVI in Europe. He's asking the Swedish government, I think it was, for immunity against all this stuff. So it's not on the up and up. He's invested in all this, but we keep believing him. But you got to believe him. In one regard, he's telling you the truth. We told you about endless diseases. I've been telling you that that's on the schedule, and he comes up to urge people to use germ games. In these stories, Bill Gates warned the governments must prepare for future pandemics and smallpox terror attacks by investing billions in research and development. So we have a couple of links here that goes through as what looks to be a predictive scenario. Bill Gates coming out the cheerleader for all this, the philanthropist for all this, part of what he does to promote this chemical weapon attack on the world. And he's now saying, well, we might be looking at smallpox. And then, again, thank you to the emailer that sent this to me, and then I got to track this down. Right after that, lab test reveals no trace of smallpox inside questionable vials of Montco facility. The United States Center of Disease Control Prevention says that several questionable vials found at Merck facility in Montgomery, Pennsylvania, did not contain Virola virus, the cause of smallpox. They had reported right before that, that they, in fact, thought they had some. Not only was it just the smallpox the unit, but they had what they called something vaccinia, a vaccine against these vials. They're reporting, the same people that are telling you the lie about SARS-CoV-2, claiming it's an organic thing, did the test to say there's no smallpox. There's no active agent here. On cue, the FBI steps in to do the same investigation. FBI CDC investigating several vials labeled smallpox found at vaccine research facility. The story is that, there was no vaccine there. Can you actually believe these people? Okay, even if it didn't, what were they there for? Why were they marked that way? If they're marked and there's nothing in it, then what are we getting out of that research lab as well, the other side? Remember I told you one aspect of this, they make up a lot of fraud, they make up a lot of liquid, and it doesn't really have much anything in it. Anyway, and they could use that to adjust their so-called cases. Although we're now seeing the hospitals flooding with the ramifications of those things, as we were told by these people. If I've got a vaccine vials that are marked smallpox, and there's nothing in them, what is that lab about? What are they doing? What was it? I don't know, folks. They keep us on our toes, though, don't they? But just after Bill Gates says that, we then have this exposure. What is this going on? Showing up that, here, folks, they don't destroy this stuff either. They tell you that there's two places in the world that is agreed to have these things still. That's the United States and Russia in bio level 4 facilities. Why? Why? They have their reasons. It's dual use. But as you understand your immune system now, it takes care of a lot of this, and why those things are probably not really working, not they're active. In fact, it's coming out, and I reported about this, the flu of 1918 was not a flu that actually did the killing. It was a bacteria. That's been known for over a year now. Finally coming out. And they keep that ready to go as well. But we have antibiotics now that could actually stop that. And it's why you're not actually seeing the so-called flu come out from 1918. No, they reference it so they scare you to death. When in fact, we're not even talking about that. We're not talking about even a bacteria. We're talking about a synthetic chemical weapon. So, Bill Gates says we're going to have smallpox. Then Merck is shown to have vials. Then the CDC that's telling you all these truths about COVID-19 comes up to say that it doesn't exist. The FBI is involved. But the FBI, we know, they can't be trusted anymore. They're the ones that create setups. They're the ones that do cover-ups, don't they? For an agenda. They want to hold out that there's white supremacists. They want to hold out that there's militia that are all domestic terrorists. Call the FBI. They'll fabricate that. You want to cover up the fact that they were doing it? Call the FBI. They'll try. They haven't been very good at it. These agencies are no longer, again, the veil should have dropped on whether on the integrity of these agencies and the trust factor and the confidence we can put in them. That it just astonishes me that we continue, and we continue to allow them to have a say. But I will believe that if it's not smallpox, they've told us endless diseases are coming. If Merck doesn't have a bunch of vials that they know what's in them, then what's in the vials they have? What are they working on? Is that all a cover as well? It doesn't have smallpox. What did it have in it then, folks? Vaccinia. Boy, that was the Luger Institute back over there in Ukraine or something. The little memory hole thing I put in Twitter where they were running tests. They've been running tests on people for decades over there, right on the border of Russia. What are they doing, folks? If there was marked smallpox and there was nothing in them, what was that? What is the quality of their inventory as well? It is nothing more than showing we can't trust in any of this and they mean you harm. And even by incompetence, if I even threw away every bit of mobster activity, organized criminal activity, take all of it away, we still have this little insight. But there was a bunch of vials that said smallpox that wasn't. And all they're speaking to is it was just small, not smallpox. Even if there isn't anything in them, what were they? Why were they labeled like that? That they were in there this whole time on top of it. That we now look at their other vials. What's in there? Do they even know? And I'm going to suggest maybe they don't need to know. Why? Because they don't make money on natural organisms. They only make money where they can make something novel. And it's making it up. And now it's synthesized. That means it's a chemical weapon. It gets back to why you're not going to find smallpox in that if they were dealing with a synthetic. So, what's this story that Bill Gates comes up, sees the PSYOP, but then we know that there's going to be endless diseases, and we also know it's not going to be biological. Endless chemical weapons attacks, not stopped by anybody of any authority, and the people just protest. Moving us into what? It's just the focus on where they're going. They want these track and trace systems. Plandopolis, take a virtual tour of your dystopian future techno-prison. Now, again, as I've talked about over and over, other people have. I'm not the only one. They're talking about the smart home, S-M-A-R-T home. Now another level of this, talking about how this is working for the digital ID to smart homes that surveil their targets is in their most intimate environments. The ruling class is erecting a technotronic control grid. Pretty close to what I was saying years ago, the technotronic prison that you live in. To add to insult to injury, they market it as an ultra-modern utopia that you should be excited to participate in as the newest member slave. You're going to be a superhero, folks. On the micro level, that will mean implanting nanotech under the skin and the bloodstream and monitor the control of your activities and biological functions. On the macro level, that will mean controlling your members of society. And so this is the rundown of the Plandopolis. That was an interesting little report that was being done, looking at the techno nightmare to come. Why? Because no one is responding to stop it and in fundamental prerequisite ways, fundamental foundational ways. No, we argue that we're going to fall on our sword and say, wait a minute, you don't even have to have you don't have the right to make me even think this way. And you should be, we need you in jail now because you thought you could under the color of authority. That's a fraud on its face. I don't need to go any further. All I have to do is show they didn't do their duty and we should have them in fraud. We should have a judiciary that calls that out. It's in excess of their jurisdiction and authority and the oath they took. They undertook that. It's a contract violation, if nothing else. But read this, Plandopolis. It is what we've been talking about. Now more look at this over a more organized thing, the track and trace, the technology that's being used. They're talking about smart, everything I've talked about. And then this got me into the next article, Cancel Culture, Reinventing Government. Very interesting argument going through how, and mentioning Agenda 21, how this thing all pulls together. a historic view relative to even going back to Clinton, how this was sneaked up on us. As I've been telling you, it was. You can just get in your codes and read how this thing was brought in. They talk about Agenda 21, Sustainable Development. This is the promotion of the Bar Association. This is what everything's going to. This is why Greta is important, because what Greta didn't do, COVID's doing and has done and going to do until people stand up. And this article here examples where Plantopolis is talking to you relative to the current implementations where we're at. This article tells us how we got here. And my, I guess I wanted to offer you, if you haven't heard about this before, this article brings it to a short, concise nutshell for you. What I want to caution us on is what I told my colleague that sent this to me, was that I didn't agree, but when you read this, that it's said and done. She says, and many know that Agenda 21 has made its way into every, even the smallest governments of America, through using the President's Council on Sustainable Development to buy, that's your buy-in, local state politicians with grant monies that have titanium strings. She talks about it being done. It's finished. And I want to say it's not what they've done. So when you read this, read with the eye in the first paragraph and then move on to be explained to you what's going on. Understand that when I'm talking about the savings clause, where I would agree with most of this article, I wouldn't agree that it's been done already. It's there and there to sit there, but the savings clauses, if you know to open that door, eliminates it. Stops the actual function of this cover that's been stuck over your nations. And now I see, you know, it's hard not to see globally because it's all working the same. Promoting where this supposed Agenda 21 idea, the work tools that are available to bring this into the world are functioning. And so this article is very good to explain you in a nutshell what's going on right now relative to your Plantopolis that we're being brought into, and most, even the people that know about it, not acting and responding against it correctly. This is coming on, this is from a plan, this is going to be seen, but I don't agree that it's done yet. It is in place, it isn't done yet because it has these savings provisions, and what it requires you to do is step up and assert those. Knowing full well you're up against a system that is so very close to finishing, they have blood on, I mean, they just literally see the blood. They just are going for the throat. They're taking us down, and I don't necessarily expect the justice. What I do expect is to be able to show them that they don't have the authority and have other people notice. If no one's going to notice, those few of us that can do that are going to be just a candle in the wind, right? So, good story here about, not a story, it's a recounting. All the way back to Clinton, I thought this was excellent. What I didn't like is she said it's a done deal. And I don't believe that. And I don't believe that because there's savings clauses. I would believe it if there wasn't a savings clause. Even in the overthrow of the Bar Association, putting a foreign corporate law as domestic corporate law as your government, that supplantation, there is the provision inside that construction statute disclosure that prior law is still functioning, notwithstanding the new statutory code. It's right in the preservation of the prior law is right there in the new construction, telling you it's a new construction, but that you can rely on the past. Why I keep going to laws, I don't go to statutes. We talk about the water law of Oregon. We talk about the mining law of a federal government back in 1866. We don't talk through the statutes. I don't talk about the RS 2477. I talk to the fulfillment of that grant. And that becomes and creates the obligations. We speak before all this, and it has to be recognized under international law. Otherwise, the people imposing it can't be recognized in international law. And so, good article to explain to people who don't understand what we've been under, that it's long-term what's been going on. And I will just offer, it's not said and done. She says it's a done, and I'm saying no. It's in place, but there's a savings hatch. Those of you that are patriot, those are constitutional, those that believe there's a law, believe there's an actual justice, it's all before this nonsense. And we see in the constitutions, it takes the mass of the people to bring it out. And that's what I've been asking a long time ago. It's why I looked to start the mining district and studied to be able to explain to people that we needed to start one, and we did. It's just that people are not far-sighted enough to understand the real battle that they were in, And then you have subverters. We were attacked, and we were able to salvage what they didn't destroy, but people are the herd, the bewildered beasts, and most miners, the microcosm of the miners, the macrocosm we know is America, and really now all peoples, they walked away. You want to talk about a walk away? That's what happens when you walk away. There's only a few left. In the core ideas, if those were true to, if I can say, objective basis, which is our savings grants, savings law provisions for saving grants, and I say savings because those are antecedent the established statutory regime that we're living under that's allowed this agenda to be brought in, that she, Ms. Catherine Margard, explains to us. So I wanted to point out this is a neat article to go through real quickly, and I maybe spoke too much to the savings provisions, but that's important to remember in this matter. Now, why this is all this idea that we have things to do is again brought up, as I keep telling you, in different places I try to find these different proofs that they're there if I need to. When force meets power, the inevitable collapse of the New World Order is insightful. And I don't necessarily agree with the premise because it talked about quantum mechanics or quantum things. I don't necessarily agree with that. They find a connection there. If you look very carefully, they're also making a worldly connection, which I don't necessarily agree with. It isn't supported in an actual science. But philosophically, we can come to analogs and equalities of thought relative to the power when force meets power. And this is very interesting because when I talk about jurisdiction, when we talk police power prerogative, we're talking in the lawful power. And he'll tell us here this Jiddu Krishnamurti, an Indian writer, will tell us real power doesn't need a lot of work. It's force that needs to be continued to be pushed forward. And when I'm talking about defeating the power, you do it with your superior power, and it's really a debt owed by the official. See, their debt brings them into no rights beyond what they are gave. And so it's the same thing I was telling you about last week and didn't identify the jurisdiction stated in a Washington rule about what's really working in these matters, even in the states. There's no state rights here. There's no state citizenship that's any prevailing. I told you last week how you needed to get to the federal law in order to protect you from the state wanting to do these things. But Krishnamurti is an Indian writer, philosopher, and speaker. Was at an early age taken in by the Theosophical Society and groomed to become the New World Teacher. Annie Besant and Charles Leadbeater, the leaders of the Theosophical Society at the time, nurtured Krishnamurti at their headquarters in Madras. They, along with a few select associates, undertook the task of educating him, guiding him through mystical teachings, and generally preparing him to become the vehicle of Lord Maitreya, a highly evolved spiritual being committed to aiding and the evolution of mankind. However, when it came time to unveil Krishnamurti to the world as a great teacher and leader of humanity, Krishnamurti broke all ties with the Theosophists and denounced all organized belief, denounced the notion of gurus and the whole teacher-follower relationship, and devoted himself instead to the pursuit of freedom for both himself and humanity. Big statement right in there. We see he threw off this thing. He's a philosopher. He's thinking about things in the world. And he comes up with, where I may not agree with the attachments to all this, we do come to certain truths that we can see that I think were stated very well in this article that I think you should read so that you can get a concepting of what really, when I say we have savings clauses that have to assert, it's not knowledge of the savings clause. It's asserting and doing something. Getting in the way of this thing coming down on us, that the force that comes upon us. Well, we have the power. But we have the power if we know how to wield it. And this is an interesting question about that. I haven't seen evidence that we do. Our lockdown state tells us that. But let me read the article here. In the absence of power, change must be effected through force. Whereas power stands on its own without the need to move against anything at all, force always moves against something. Force is fragmented and therefore has to be fed energy constantly. Force consumes whereas power creates. While force requires sustained input, power acts without effort. That spoke to me about when I get on the point of this, I'm not fighting. I'm not arguing. I have literally zero effort in a way other than to say, to present the official without the power coming under color of the power is a criminal. And that is all I have to do. And if there's a more people with justice in their mind, we will look, notice that, and the pressure of that witness will shut that down normally. But the world has turned insane. They have been brought into belief force is required everywhere. United States, that seems to be how it operates everywhere. Gone are the days in my little mind that diplomacy was the coolest thing I'd ever seen in the world. How we could all agree to get along and, you know, just do it, even though we had differences. Statesmen instead of politicians. I've seen them both now. I see the difference. And it's striking. Where are we gone? Now it's just force. And power is where we want to stand. And I offer, look for your power. They say the power's in the people. I don't mean the legislature. We the people that they now have defined. We each people, the mutual benefit of each other coming together in a society we want, are actually the power. We just have to get back to that. And when we find a lawless force, we know it's force. We don't even have to argue. I don't have to argue that it's force. It's not power. And because in a place that has the objective basis, they have to do the non-fraudulent reason why they're acting. This is different than a dictator, a king, actually. We've just allowed this. But going on this article, thinking about the concept of power and force within the context of the global crisis, current global crisis, leads us towards some profound conclusions. For one, agendas that center around inequality, control, profit, and material gain are always driven by force. Force is a tool used by those who lack power. When your motives go against good humanity, when your intentions fail to support life itself, your only option is to use force. Force includes all manner of fear-mongering, manipulation, coercion, and violence. Force may work up to a point, but as we discovered, it requires a constant input of energy, and therefore results are obtained at a cost. Propaganda campaigns require vast amounts of money, coordination, and tireless censorship. Vaccine mandates require bribes, threats, and the covering up of adverse events. I'm going to interject right here. Remember, I said the Biden administration, the White House, has a campaign going on. If this doesn't speak to that as well directly and what is really going on, this provisions in this article, part of the article, well, we're spot on in my mind. They really, regardless of its origins, these are what we're up against. And we're talking about the fact of force being used when the power can be withheld from them. Exactly what I've been telling you. The energy input is immense and, most importantly, unsustainable. I'll agree to the word, but not in the context of Agenda 21. See, this is the important part. It's unsustainable in that it can't be, it isn't self running. It has to have that energy put into it. Power, on the other hand, is in self-manifesting. A force creates fiction. It must be constantly be fed with more and more energy. But as the force becomes stronger, so does the friction. Force, due to its polarizing nature, increases entropy. As entropy rises, the available energy decreases until eventually momentum ceases and the entire thing grinds to a halt. While the source of power is self-evident, indestructible and inarguable, force is subject to proof and requires constant justification. While true power emanates from consciousness itself, force is driven by the ego. Those who use force to impose their will on humanity always succumb to power. As a history has shown, all totalitarian regimes eventually come crashing down. I don't know what else I've said in the last few years on how to view this, and how you don't, it's not just that the power does anything. You show how the one in ego, it actually has no power. And you do that objectively, not because our opinion says so, but because the organization of the organic establishment of a lawfully acting government says that power is not created unless and until a non-fraudulent exigency is born and shown and proven. Not presumptive, not probable, actual. actual. And so this is an interesting thing. Like I said, I was torn between it sound more humanistic. It does use the word human. I'm not into that part. I don't like quantum sciences. I'm not sold on any of that stuff. There's other potential answers to some of these things. And again, science, real science, is not data. It's really looking at doing tests and doing proper tests and data and then an analyze and then retesting those. And it's an ongoing process of ignorance is what it is, which is fine. I mean, if we're just trying to understand this creation, we can't figure it out. I mean, if that's all we got, that's the best we got. But all other than we might have more important things to do. The point is here, power, you have the power. It's not hard to wield it. And all you have to do here is show the other doesn't have it, the one that's harming you, trespassing against you, under color, under the fraud, that they are have done what the law requires, the black and white. Why do I keep doing the law? I keep it's having to tell you this, I think. I don't think people understand this. It's the only objective basis we have in the storm of insanity. It's the only touchstone we have right now in this storm of insanity to be able to delineate what is objective basis, what is ego versus what is power. And if you can't see this fraudy guy getting off on ego and the power wielded with this, is I don't know what else to say about that. But moving on now, through that, we have the power. The power is in you saying no, but in a proper way. Not just no, you don't have the power. The other one doesn't have the power to impose. And unless and until the non-fraudulent exigency is demonstrated, we don't have to go further. You are just a criminal. You're coercing. You're extortion. You're committing high crimes and misdemeanors. You're violating that oath you took. You're not even in the office anymore. But you're a psychopath and lunatic. You've used us. You've abused the people through its offices and its good faith need. Austria imposes compulsory vaccination from February 1st and nationwide lockdown starting Monday. Austria will introduce a full lockdown that could last for 3 weeks on Monday in an attempt to tackle the new wave of COVID-19 infections. The government has also ordered the entire population to get vaccinated. Next story, it's not limited to the unvaccinated. They're creating these lockdowns. Austria may lock down the vaccinated too. 3 days after the restrictions were announced on unvaccinated Austrians, the provincial governor is pressing for a nationwide lockdown for all residents if COVID-19 infections continue to hit record highs. The very thing that we're seeing that's being denied in, let's say, Ventura, the increased hospitalization. Remember, we don't know what that test is because there is no test. They have that. That's their ace in the hole about being able to call whatever COVID is. To continue, both on the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, the lockdown mentality and the change of the society, that the future they want, they're getting it. No one's responding, and the Austrian government is so enlightened that they do that instead of study here that was sent to me, ivermectin, the prevention and treatment of COVID-19 infections. This is the systematic review of meta-analysis and the trial sequential analysis of informed clinical guidelines showing that not only does this ivermectin reduce deaths, is one section which didn't come up in the abstract that says it also reduces hospitalizations. Why do I bring that up? Because Austria is ostensibly, purportedly using the fact of increased hospitalizations in their need to lock people down, which method it hasn't been shown to work and can't because they've never done what? They've never tested for an infectious agent, and we know they can't. Austria, step up. You're becoming the next Australia. Because you're not saying, wait a minute, you can't say that yet. You got to show us the non-fraudulent exigency. You have to demonstrate that, not just talk. We can't know what you're protecting against unless you do that. Macron discloses whether lockdown for unvaccinated will be necessary in France. You're watching the systematic lockdown of France, but you're also watching the standard by which they'll do it, focusing everybody on what? The contact tracing, the identity, the Green Pass, the very same thing we opened up the broadcast that should not define us and is a violation to all European law. Remember, the European, not the European Union, not the union of those countries, but the countries themselves is a violation to those. French President Emmanuel Macron, which he's a globalist, he's not of the people, has dismissed the possibility of locking down unvaccinated people in France, claiming the move would not be necessary because of the success of the COVID-19 health pass. So you see right here, oh, we're going to be looked sounding like the hero. You don't have to have lockdown because what? We have the health pass. It's a lie. It's not about health. That's a fraud on its name. Where are the people in France to say, but you haven't identified what your health pass is targeting? There's no test. COVID-19 is a set of symptoms that's only presumptively attached to an infectious agent, but we can't prove that. And what we do know is it's not an organism. It's not a biological organism. Macron, President Macron, it's not biological. This is a chemical weapon. So how did you get to a communicable disease? Ask them, folks. You might get an answer, but 10,000 of you ask them. Don't fall on your swords that says that you agree the government can do anything. No, they can only do it if they demonstrate the exigency for doing it, and they can't. What's behind all this? Why do they keep pressing these health passes again and again? The story is going to be consistent. Thank you again for emailers bringing some more of the findings that you're doing. Cloak and dagger military intelligence outfit at the center of the U.S. digital vaccine passport push. That's global, folks. We don't talk about global dominance. Here it is. There's a report connecting all this stuff up. What Macron says, oh, we have the health pass, so we don't have to lock you down. What is that? That's nothing more than the Chinese system brought upon you. Like I said, the pivot to China through Obama was not military. That was for show. Oh, yeah, there's a real geopolitical thing going on between China, but that's not what the global condition is relative to you. And the attack, the military attack on you that apparently looks like all militaries are okay with. Otherwise, where have they been other than Operation Warp Speed to protect you? The government, military, National Guard coming in to protect foreign nurses to come and work where Americans are saying, no, I don't want this, whatever the reason is. And never, ever questioning whether or not there was no power and why they needed the force to show up to do it. And when we saw the force show up, the people should have said, that's maladministration. We're going to shut this down. We don't need any more reason. And give them one opportunity to fix the problem. Follow the communicable disease law or admit you're in maladministration of the government we established. While vaccine passports have been marked on as a boon to the public promising safety, privacy, and convenience for those who have been vaccinated against COVID-19, the pivotal role of the shadow military intelligence organization is playing in the push to implement the system in digital form has raised serious civil liberties concern. Well, beyond that, folks. But it's now being noticed that this organization called MITRE, MITRE, is a non-profit corporation led almost entirely by military intelligence professionals and sustained by sizable contracts with the Department of Defense, FBI, and the national security sector. The effort to expand the QR code vaccine passports beyond the states in California and New York now revolves around the public-private partnership known as the Vaccine Credential Initiative, VCI. I'll stop there. That's your public-private partnership, which the Agenda 21 speaks to, which the prior article speaks to. It's coming on you. You see the FBI involved intricately with the military, and we cannot expect that what we would find from their research and studies would be trustable anymore. No confidence. No nothing. There's nothing here. It's a big criminal organization using the functions and agencies and departments of government to take you out, and no one's saying anything about that maladministration. And inside the military, it moves on. Punishments set for U.S. troops who refuse vaccination. Punishment, folks. Why punishment? But this is what the U.S. Army is doing inside. It's threatened repercussions for soldiers who decline to receive the COVID-19 vaccination, saying the insubordinate troops will be barred from promotions, reenlistment, and a number of special military services. That's retaliation when you go back and find out where have they identified the infectious agent if they're autonomous to all other jurisdictions. Why are the military people, why are they putting up with being threatened like that? It's unconscionable against their contract for what they've signed into, even being GI for them to make the imposition without demonstrating the non-fraudulent exigency in the military. Where are the military people coming and defending themselves? In the most basic sense, they can use their state's laws in order to, the communicable disease laws to help them. FDA asked the federal judge to grant it until the year 2076. I'm going to say this again, folks. Listen, 2076, the year 2076, to fully release Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine data. Yeah, Kennedy comes to mind here. Do you think we've got that information? Why are they delaying? The FDA has asked the federal judge to make the public wait until the year 2076 to disclose all of the data and information it relied upon to license Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine. This is not a typo. It wants 55 years to produce this information to the public. Why, folks? What's going on? If they want, I would use this article to say they're not going to produce it for 2076, therefore they cannot show now what they are fighting. It's up to them to do that first, folks. I would just use this as the admission. They're not going to be coming, disclosing what they were supposed to have to. But see, this is the federal side. You could also use, well, then if they're not disclosing these, how does the local government know it can use them? On top of the fact they've admitted they will not prevent. And their prevention is a requirement of the duty. They can only use measures to prevent your local officials. That's their duty. Italian government raids homes on anti-vaccine passports activists. How do you think they find out where they are, right? The Turin prosecutor's office directed a police raid in several Italian cities of people that they to be involved with protests against Green Pass, Italy's domestic coronavirus vaccine passport, which the United States government's military is in promotion of through that nonprofit public-private partnership. Everybody's in, the players are involved, and they're going after this these people that are deemed to be anti-vaccine passport activists, and that they are then under the color of being blamed for doing crimes, not being an anti-vaccine passport activist, but crimes. As I told you before, you will be blamed for crime. You will be told that you are committed a crime, and you're going to be put into a system that you're completely unprepared for. And I'm not saying criminal, it makes you can be prepared for that. It's a, that's a whole other condition and a problem. But that's what they throw you into, and they have almost absolute advantage there. Is what I told you was coming on. You're deemed to be a domestic terrorist, and you're pretty much done. You still have to fight, and your defenses have to come. You have to start looking at your criminal defenses. They stick you in a completely different condition where they blame you for crimes. Or they look for every fault. You know, talk about being a felon every day. This is what the technocrats can do once they have all this information. And then again, I'm going to stand back up on the powers and the people. Watch another link here. Road blockade in Netherlands over COVID controls. Truckers and other motorists have been trapped in a four-mile-long log jam on the outskirts of the Dutch city of Rotterdam amid a protest against the government's COVID measures. Folks, stop protesting. Take all those people that did that and march them into the government with your paperwork and start filing against the government's failure, the fraud, to put these restrictions without the power, the lawful power to do so. Start there. Because at the end of this story, what they did do is cool to start, but then they just gave it up. At the end of the afternoon, they're now walking away from it. Another quick point here, total off, but here Biden shuts down the pipelines, Russia fleet en route to the U.S. to help battle fuel crisis that's been self-inflicted wound to give us diesel fuel, folks. This whole thing is a setup. It's all supposed to be climate change, right? Well, we got Russian fleet coming to give the United States diesel fuel. What an insanity do we live under anymore? You know, we just sit there and watch it. Anyway, Grimner, I hope you're getting better. I'm sure you're doing best you can for yourself. Folks, I don't know what more to say. We need to get more active on what we know. And I'll be with you next week, Tech Diffs or Nature Ruin.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
foot opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.